Log Talk Radio.
If you are tuning in, I want to welcome you to the Bible study on tonight. This is the Word of Life Bible study. I want you to tune in. I want you to be blessed. And we're going to sit back on tonight. We're going to get to the Proverbs. Tonight, we're going to get to the book of Proverbs, chapter 22 to be exact. I want you to sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Superstar,
I want to thank you for tuning in to the broadcast on tonight. And we're going to get right into this Bible study on tonight. Again, the Bible study on tonight is coming right out of Proverbs chapter 22. We'll be coming out of Proverbs chapter 22. And before we start, I do want to mention that the song that you heard was by Moselle. That artist's name is Moselle. The name of that song was Superstar. And it was just a little encouraging song that he did. And I liked it. I friended him on MySpace for the past, I think, 2 or 3 years. He's been a MySpace friend. But I just wanted that song. It's just a little encouragement. I like the song. So, I just hope that it blessed you. Also, if you want to call in, the number to call in is 619-393-6483. Again, the number to call in on the show tonight is 619-393-6483. If you are tuning in, you have tuned into the Word of Life Church Kentucky Bible Study that is coming to you streaming live on tonight, coming right out of Radcliffe, Kentucky. The goal is to be able to give you word and give you access to the word no matter where you are. If you have a comment or question, please send it in. Please call in. And we also have a chat line that is also open where we can see you when you sign in, or if you enter the chat room and you want to make a comment or you want to speak. And so if you have your Bibles, what I do want you to do is go to chapter 22 in the book of Proverbs. Now, with Bible study, you have some pastors that would like to get into Bible study, and they like to have a series of lessons that are connected to a biblical character, or a series of lessons that may be connected to a story that is in the Bible. So they might want to connect a series of lessons based off a biblical character, do a character study based off of a certain major event in the Bible and do a series of lessons on that, or they just may want to go with the flow each and every Bible study that they have. But what I'm going to do tonight is come out of the book of Proverbs chapter 22, and one of the reasons I'm coming out of that is this message is an encouraging message to Christians, especially in this day, in this time. Now, if you have also tuned into the Strategically Prophetic broadcast, which goes live on Saturdays at 8 p.m., the most recent broadcast was a very eschatological broadcast. That was a very eschatological broadcast. And so what I'm going to do today is encourage Christians out there, or encourage anyone who is tuning in, who is listening to this, because a lot of the times, and I will zoom in on Christians, is that as Christians, you think that you, we think we're just going to pray and prophesy and preach, and then it's just going to happen. You know, a lot of people find themselves in difficult times right now, but a lot of the times, you know, you see people succeeding around you, and you're like, why? I'm doing this right, I'm doing that right. Well, a lot of the times, you know, we sit back and say, well, I'm just going to pray, I'm just going to preach and prophesy, and I'm just going to sit back, and God is going to do it. It does not happen like that. And it will not happen like that. We've been taught that. We've been taught to sow our way out of things. We've been taught to give our way out of things. We've been taught to preach and pray and prophesy our way out of things. But at the end of the day, you're still left with your jacked-up integrity or your jacked-up character. When you have a jacked-up integrity or a jacked-up character, you'll never be able to move forward. And a lot of us are caught in this mentality where we cannot move forward because of our lack of faith and because of a warped idea of who God is. So getting into the book of Proverbs, I'm going to read, we're going to go through the book of Proverbs chapter 22, and I'm going to go through that chapter once a night. We're going to read that chapter and read these verses. I'm going to give you some nuggets off of these verses, because these, what you were hearing tonight is going to apply to you, and it applies to these economic times. And I'm just going to give you some revelation as we go through this chapter. The book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom. There are several chapters in the book of Proverbs, but it is a book of wisdom. It is a compendium of moral instructions, and it deals with sin and it deals with holiness. It deals with sin, and it deals with holiness. It teaches us by contrast, and it also teaches us that righteousness and sin are very contrasted. They go, righteousness and sin are opposites. Righteousness and sin always strive against one another. And so we're going to get in here, and we're just going to delve into this. I'm going to start reading here. I'm going to start from verse 1. Now, this says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. This is in Proverbs 22:1. It says here, it says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Now, recently on the blog that was posted, and those of you who don't know the blog, you can get that on the Facebook, but there's a blog that was posted called the Strategically Prophetic Blog, Restoring Integrity to the Prophetic, and we had a gentleman, had someone send, you know, contact me on Facebook after reading that post and asked me for scriptures on this, that, and the third, but the whole emphasis was based on the fact that he believed that the prophet was supposed to bring prosperity to God's people. That's not the chief purpose of the prophet, but here in Proverbs, we can see right here that a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. So it is written right here in the word, good favor, excuse me, loving favor, and a good name over silver and gold. Loving favor and a good name is based on character and integrity and morality and righteousness, not a sinful life, and not those who are under a spirit of affectation or who are under a spirit of mammon and who just want to use the word of God as an occasion to fill their pockets. And this is also explained when you see people go out and they minister and they preach and then they want an honorarium, or they say sow a seed, they say God said, God has really not said. They say God is sin so they can fill their pockets, so they can pay for that honorarium, that whole entourage they brought with them, their hotel room, their plane ticket, gas for their car, food, lodging, and all of those things that came with that trip. Because a lot of preachers go places that the Lord has not told you to go. And so one thing you can do to be integral in that is if you are a minister or you are an elder, you are a speaker, you need to learn how to divide the ministry from the business. And you can get yourself two different organizations going on here. When people call you to come preach, you need to go and pray and see, is this an assignment for me? If that is an assignment and God is saying, go, I have something for you, I have something for you to release, and there's something for you to give to that people, then what you need to do when you get there, you don't need to charge for that. You need to say, you know what? I'm here on assignment. You know, if they bless me with something, let them bless me. But get yourself there and back and provide the way to go. And if you can't get there, but it's an assignment, you tell them, look, I want to get there. I need to come here. Look, what's going on? I need you to work with me, do this, that, or the third. But commanding honorariums just to preach the word of God should not be the number one goal. And on the business aspect, if there are certain education, if there's a certain educational level that you have, certain certifications that you have, and certain credentials that you have that people want to take advantage of, see, what some people will do is call you to preach so they can take advantage of those credentials. But sometimes people just want you to come and preach at conferences. They just want you to come and do this, that, or the third. So what you can do in that case is say, look, this is a credential. This falls under my education, my expertise level. And if you want to receive from me from that capacity, then you need to pay for that because that's my livelihood. And so separate the two, and then you won't be in the area, or you won't be in the group of preachers where it's always confusing because every time you turn around, it's sow a seed, and then everyone's blessed but the people who are in the church. Verse 2 says, the rich and poor meet together, and the Lord is the maker of them all. Verse 3, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Now, this here is another one. The prudent man foresees the evil and he hides himself. Hides himself. We are hidden in the shadows of the Most High. We abide in the shadows of the Most High. We are hidden in the glory of God. The book of Acts tells us to save yourself from this untoward generation. Seeing the signs of the times and seeing the things that are going on, especially in this generation, we can take heed to this and understand that, look, we need to be eschatologically relevant. We need to understand prophecy and time prophecy, understand what Revelation is saying, get those commentaries, that Bible handbook, that Bible survey, that topical Bible, get into there and break it down. Get you a Hebrew, a Greek lexicon. Look, break these things down so you can understand the times. And if you understand the times, you can see evil when it is coming. And if you can see evil when it is coming, you can prepare yourself. And you can prepare yourself as well as those that are around you. Verse 4 says, by humility and fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Verse 5, thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. This is another scripture just, you know, admonishing people or exhorting people to be prudent. And that's one of the things with Christians. We want to pray ourselves through things. You cannot just pray yourself through situations. You can't pray yourself through a divorce. You can't pray yourself through a sickness. And understand what I'm saying. You just can't pray by itself. Prayer alone, it's just like faith alone. You need faith combined with works. You just can't have faith alone. You just can't have. Now, when you got saved, sola, we understand that. Faith alone, by faith, by grace, we understand that. But when you are believing God for a business, you're believing God for to save your marriage, to deliver your son, to deliver you, to deliver your daughter, to bring this one out of this situation, to expand you in ministry, to do these, this, that, and the other. When you want him to do these things, you can't just go behind the scenes and pray. You have to be focused, and you have to understand that, look, okay, yes, I want God to expand my ministry. Yes, I'm decreeing and declaring the word, and I'm prophesying, but what are you doing to move forward? Because a lot of people in ministry that I have found, everybody wants to be anointed. Everybody wants to be great. Everybody wants to be anointed. Everybody's great. Everybody got a ministry, but you don't even have a website. But you're going to the nations. You say God called you to the nations. You don't even have a website. You say you want to go, you know, national, international. You haven't even started the paperwork on a 501c3 that you need to get your stuff legit. You know, you haven't even done the things that you need to do. Are you prepared to do a budget? You know what I'm saying? Do you have a line upon line, precept upon precept? Do you even have that started or have that in process? So prayer mixed with your faith and your works. You need works behind what you're decreeing and declaring and behind what you're asking God for. You're asking God for things that you're not willing to do all that is necessary to see them come into fruition. Now, verse 6 says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Verse 7, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. The borrower is servant to the lender. This is something that everyone knows. It tells us that the rich ruleth over the poor. Now, the scripture is very clear on that. The rich ruleth over the poor. What the issue is for Christians is to define rich, to define prosperity, because we're still talking about the physical realm here. And if it is true that there are metaphysical principles that supersede or that are higher than the rules that govern this temporal realm, that means you may not have everything in this temporal realm, but you are able to tap into the spiritual realm and the metaphysical and pull it down. So you have more weight and control and more power in the spirit realm. So if you believe that by faith, then you understand, look, that you are truly rich. He's given us everything that pertain unto godliness and wisdom, that we are seated in heavenly places with him. All riches, glory, honor, and power are with him. And if they are with him, him is who? Being Christ Jesus. And we are in Christ. We are hidden in Christ. What he has is ours as well, because we have the same Father, and we're both heirs to the same riches and the same glory and the same honor that sits upon God. And he has so freely given it to us through the work of his Son, Jesus Christ. So we need to understand our definitions. You can't always look at the world and say, well, why don't I have, why don't I have, why don't I have? What are you doing? And you cannot always expect to get it the same way they get it, because you're saying you have more warfare that's going to come against you to be able to, in order for you to be able to move to where you're going. And you have to understand, too, warfare comes so that when you do get where you're going, you will understand where you are at. You will understand your purpose. You will understand what it took to get there. And you will not be lazy to the fact that you're going to need to maintain that level of tenacity and that level of being meticulous and that level of work that and prayer and fasting that it took you to get to where God is taking you. And when you get there, you will understand that, therefore, you can understand the power of being a good steward. And then you can go back and look at that parable and get more out of that. The power of being a good steward. You know, worship, when you get to a certain level in God, worship of God or worshiping God is acting out in your life. Worshiping God can be making sure you're making every decision that you need to make, making prudent decisions in every area of your life, making sure you're a good steward of the money that he's given you, of the family he's given you, of the business, of the ministry, and all those things that he's given you. That in and of itself is worship. Not just a person that comes in on Sunday, open up their mouth, throw their hands up, shout, sing, and dance, and then leave, and you're still in sin. Or the same person that may not sin, they just shout, sing, and dance, and leave church, but nothing's ever happening in their life. They don't go to school. They're not getting an education. They just want God to throw everything in their lap. And if you really believe that, then you're really deceived. And moving on here, he that hath, He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed. A bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth his bread to the poor. He that hath a bountiful eye. It takes a person to understand that everything that they get has a purpose, and that in that purpose, it is to help humanity. It is to help, you know, humankind. You are to be a benefactor as a steward of what God gives you so you can help other people. People who really understand that, people who really understand that, who really know that, do not just look at dollars. They have a bountiful eye. So what does that mean? These are people who might not have much. This is the woman who only has a little bit, but she gave her last. She had a bountiful eye because she was looking at, she was able to peer into the spirit realm and see riches that other people could not see. She understood the true definition of what it meant to give and what could come back. For he giveth us his bread, for he giveth his bread to the poor. Those that have, and especially in the United States, we are in a state of abundance. We have so much. And you can spare, though you say you cannot, you can bear to find someone and help them. You can find somebody to help them, whether it's just in a piece of clothing, whether it's just in food, whether it's giving somebody a gift card, whether it's giving somebody a ride. There's something that you can do to help people that are around you. Everybody can help everybody. There's always a need that needs to be filled. Verse 11. Now, actually, let's go back. I'm going to hit up verse 10. Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. It says, cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, or more than that, strife and reproach shall cease. This is talking about the scorner. This is the person that always has something reproachful to say. This is the person that is a slanderer. This is the person that's always negative-minded. This is the person that's somewhat cynical, but this is somebody who always has something negative to say, and what they say is usually towards a situation or directed towards an individual, a individual person, an individual organization, or a group of people or a certain situation. It's specified and aimed at that situation as it were an arrow, because they want it. They're willing that that arrow or what they are saying is going to do some damage in the place that they're sending it to. That's a scorner. A scorner causes strife. A scorner causes reproach. A scorner causes contention. Contention is arguments. Contention is an atmosphere of pride and envy. And the atmosphere of pride and envy, we know the Bible says where pride is, there's every evil work. And so a scorner is someone who instigates. And so if you cast out the scorner, according to verse 10 of this scripture, then contention shall go out, and strife and reproach shall cease. So you can have peace in your household. You can have peace in your organization. You got peace in your ministry. There are people who are pastors who are afraid to rebuke members and people in their churches, and they're out of line. They're out of order with the word of God, not just because they're not obedient to them. I'm not talking about pastoral worship where pastors think that whatever they say, whether it's in the word or not, needs to be obeyed. But you have legitimate, lawful, and legal biblical grounds. The spiritual, you have spiritual legal grounds to address issues in your church, but you do not want to address them. These are scorners. If you address them, if you hit that demon on the head, if you address that flaw in their personality, if you address their diarrhea of the mouth, if you address these situations, then the arguments in your church shall go out, the strife, the reproach, the envy, the hate, the hatred, all those things will leave and they will go. And this is in verse 10 of Proverbs 22:11. He that loveth the pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. It says, he that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. This scripture reminds me of a scripture in Ephesians chapter 4 also. Let every word bring grace to the hearers. Let every word that you say bring grace to the hearers. He that loveth the pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. The person who people, at the end of the day, people can tell when you're fake and when you're not. People can tell when you're real and when you're fake. People can tell people that have pure motives. People can tell people who are around them as advisors that have the wrong motives, no matter how much they try to hide them. And see, your gifting will bring you before good men, but your character and your integrity, which is a crucial part of your gifting, will also bring you before great men. And what there's a lack of, everybody is doing everything that they can. They're looking at, you know, people in Africa, you got people in Europe, you got people all across the world looking at people in the United States and how they're doing ministry, and you got other people, even here in the United States, people trying trying to duplicate ministry. I'm trying to do it like this one is doing, and I'm going to do it like that one is doing, and we're trying to do it this way and do it that way, but it's out of order because that's not how God would have you to do it. We're trying to copy people, not knowing that your own character, your own righteousness, your own integrity, your own gifted would bring you before men, and not only bring you before men, but great men and kings and queens, and not only bring you before them, but according to this scripture, if you do it out of the pureness of your heart, pureness of heart is pure integrity, doing it the right way, doing it the way God told you to do it, you will not only be brought before great men or be brought in their presence, but you will have their favor and their graces upon you. Verse 12 says, the eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge, and he overthroweth the words of the transgressor. The eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge. The eyes of the Lord preserves knowledge. You're not just going to get knowledge because you're in college and you're just praying. You have to open up that book and you have to open up your eyes. The scripture says the eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge. Now, what does that mean? That means we need to always be up. We need to always be moving. We need to be always seeking out not just God, but there's natural knowledge. There is natural knowledge. There is spiritual knowledge. You know, and in this world, the knowledge and the system of this world is broken down into different domains. You need to understand that. And if you understand each domain, whether it's economic, whether it's the social domain, the governmental, political domains, whatever, the educational domain, you need to understand these domains. And then once you can understand them, then you can know how to operate and move in and between in them and begin to learn to master them. But knowledge is the key. And if the eyes of the Lord, talking about the eyes of the Lord. Yes, knowledge is key, but having the eyes of the Lord come out of prayer with prophetic insight and prophetic vision for what needs to happen, and then come out of the prayer with the eyes of the Lord and keep the vision that you got when you was in prayer. Keep the information, the knowledge, the revelation that you got when you was in prayer. So when you go out in the world, you can maneuver, you can be strategic, and you can do different things, and you can grow your business. Now, verse 13 says, the slothful man saith, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets. This is a scripture that I want to emphasize on because a lot of Christians just believe, you know, you hear people and you hear Christians and you may be one of them, but you hear people say, you know what, I don't want to do this unless the Lord tells me. I'm not moving unless I hear from the Lord. If God wants me to do this, he's going to send a prophet. I'm going to hear this from my pastor. I'm waiting to hear from the man or the woman of God, this, that, or the third. And to them, I need to tell you that that is a lack of faith. That is a lack of faith. People decree and declare that they have all this faith, but it is really a lack of faith, because if you really believe that God is in you and the Holy Spirit is in you and that he's leading and guiding you, you need to also understand that he's a part of you. And so when we trust in the Lord and lean not to our own understanding, he guides our ways. How does he guide our ways? Because our minds have been renewed. However our minds have been renewed, they've been renewed by the washing of the word. Our minds have been washed by the word of God. We need to be renewed and be transformed. We need to be renewed and be transformed by what? The word of God. And once we get God's ways, his principles, his scriptures, the mind of God, how he operates, the kingdom of God in our mind, and we start to operate on that daily, coming out of prayer and fasting, then our thoughts are his thoughts. For I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And then, yes, in the scripture in Isaiah, he says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And that is in the book of Isaiah. But in the New Testament, we have the Spirit of Christ, which is the mind of God in us. And so what people don't understand, I'm waiting on God to tell me, I'm waiting on God to move. Well, that's a lack of faith. What you should be doing is the reverse. Everything you find your hands to do, do it. And in doing it and in going forth with it, you say, okay, now I'm going to do everything that I can do. I'm going to go forward. Because I believe God, and whatever I am doing that he does not want me to do, he's going to reveal it to you. That is trusting that God is going to reveal it to you. That is not being slothful, saying that there's a lion without. That's not being slothful, saying, I'm not going to go do that because God didn't tell me to do that, when you're really scared that you don't want to waste this money, or you're scared that you don't want to go this route or go that route or change location or go to this school or move your child here, there, or the other. It's being lazy. And the scriptures let us know that you are slothful. You are slothful, and a slothful person cannot reproduce. And if you cannot reproduce, or if you're not bringing forth good fruit, then you're really up to no good. You're really of no good. And you can compare that with the parable of the fig tree. And sometimes, you know, even when you do bear fruit, if it's not at the right time or season, or if it's out of order at root, you know, at the purpose, at the integrity of the issue, you know, a lot of us bear fruit, But your heart and your purpose and your intentions were not right. So it's out of order and out of season. So you're not growing, you're not moving forward, and people don't know why. Well, that's why, because your heart is not right before God, and we try to trick God. Now, verse 15 says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. The rod of correction. I know a lot of people, you know, yes, people translate that, you know, hit your child. A rod of correction. Okay, I understand that. But out of the Bible talks about how Jesus was the rod of Jesse. He's the rod of Jesse. He was a rod. He was a rod of Jesse. So what you're talking about here is a symbol of stability, a symbol of discipline, of power, of morality, of godliness. The rod of correction drives foolishness out of them. The word of God is a rod of correction. Discipline is a rod of correction. There is no logic in beating someone or abusing someone or hitting them and then thinking that you're just hitting them and telling them not to do this or not to do that is going to change their mindset or going to change, you know, their attitudes. There will be no attitudinal changes unless you can really get an understanding in that individual's mind concerning what they did. So in order to change a man's ways, you must change a man's actions. If you want to change a man's life, you must change his actions. If you're going to change a man's actions, you must change how he thinks. And if you change how a man thinks, you can change what he does, which means his actions will be, it will be reflected in his actions as well as in his life. And it will reproduce discipline in his life, therefore effectual change. Now, verse 16, if you're listening here now, verse 16 of chapter 22 is really a prophetic verse because it says, he that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich surely shall come to want. This scripture really applies to the political atmosphere that we have right now, where we have the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer, and the rich are still trying to get more money by oppressing those who do not have. And behind closed doors, they are making bills and policies and charters and all kinds of legislation and laws to try to keep their power and keep their money. But according to the scripture, the people who oppresseth the poor to increase their riches, and he that giveth to the rich, not just the people that are oppressing to keep it, but the people that are giving to them that have it. So this is kind of anti what a lot of preachers preach today. Okay, you're a millionaire, so what I want to do is give. You're a millionaire, so you must have a millionaire's anointing, so I need to give to you so I can get that anointing on me. So we think that we can only give. We don't even think God is that big. We think we can only give to people that have money so I can get money. When the scripture lets us know here, and he that give to the rich, not just talking to the wicked man. We know that the scripture, and we know the word wicked comes from a word where we get wicker. We know that wicker, we talk about a wicker table or wicker seat or whatever. Wicker is that which is twisted. It's a material that is used to make, but it's twisted. And so when you talk about something that is wicked, it has to do with something that was straight that has now been twisted. So the wicked is making a reference to the righteous, and or those who are saved, those who are part of that salvific process, and them twisting their ways. The wicked in the scriptures is not necessarily talking about those who are not sinners, because those that are sinners and don't even claim the name of Christ are not even in the running. The scriptures are addressed to those that are righteous to give them instructions on how to live and to give them information that they need to go forth and to be able to do what they need to do. So we need to understand that. So people say, oh, that's talking about the wicked. That's not talking about. No, it's talking about the sinners. No, it's talking about the wicked. Those that have the word, and the word is the rod. The word is a rod of correction. But those that take the rod of correction and they twist it. Hello, wicked. They make it wicked. And those are the ones. So we have twisted this word by saying, I'm going to sow into this one and got $1 million, I'm going to sow over here. So we think we're going to sow into greatness to be great. I'm going to sow into this one to get this one. When all you're doing is sowing into names and notoriety, and you make God so small that you can't meet a need. You can be in the ghetto and meet a need of your next door neighbor. You can be in your house and bless somebody down the street. And God sees that, and he will return that to you because you met a need, but you sowed and met a need. So now you release God to meet a need for you. But we twisted that in that the rich get richer even in the church, because we preach, they facilitate their own pockets and their own financial security by telling you that you need to sow into them because they're rich. And if you sow into this rich and blessed anointing, then you'll get it too. And there's no such thing. There's no such thing as a millionaire's anointing. There's no such thing as an anointing for prosperity. No such thing at all. These are, just like there are seven spirits that are mentioned in the book of Isaiah and also mentioned in the book of Revelation, seven spirits of God that represent different aspects of God. The Holy Ghost of God has different aspects. There are different aspects to God. Prosperity is an aspect of it. There's a spirit of giving. You know, the spirit of there's a gift of giving. There's a gift of mercy. People have the gift of encouragement. There are different aspects to God. And so what we see today, people have taken the aspects of God and we've taken them, which collectively make up the person of God and represents the mind of Christ expressed through us, they have taken it, broken it down, and now they have taken something and they've twisted it to turn the truth into a lie. And this is also a scripture speaking to these politicians and people who are in Congress, our senators. These are people who are doing, these are big business men as well. Everybody wants to secure their own money, secure their own future. But righteousness exalts a nation. Righteousness exalts a nation. You can tell the quality of a nation not by measuring those who have wealth. You tell the quality and the integrity of a nation by how that nation treats its poor. And in the United States, there is no reason why we should have as many poor individuals that we have here and have all the wealth and abundance that we have. And the reason we do it is called the hourglass effect, where the top is getting big, the top is big, the bottom is big, but the middle, which is the middle class is getting smaller and smaller as the rich get richer and the poor get poor. Let's go to verse 17. It says, "Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips, that thy trust may be in the Lord. I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. Have not I written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge?" Verse 21, "that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that sin unto thee." To them that sin unto thee. Now here's verse 22. It says, "Rob not the poor, because he is poor, neither oppress the afflicted in the gate. For the Lord will plead their cause and spoil the soul of those that spoil them." Now, this is another significant scripture in tonight's message. It says, don't rob the poor because he's poor. Common sense. Don't rob the poor because they're poor. They're poor. They already don't have. Don't rob them. And then it says, neither oppress the afflicted in the gate. The afflicted, now it says in the gate. In those times, you would have lepers and people that were sick that would be, they could be found at the gate and they would be asking for money. So they would be asking for money because they had some ailment or some disease where they could not work or could not bring in income, and they may have been a beggar. So they were afflicted with something on their lives that caused them to have to beg and ask for money at the gate. That's why this group says, neither oppress the afflicted in the gate, for the Lord will plead their cause. And it says, why? Don't rob the poor, don't afflict the oppressed, because the Lord will plead their cause. So anytime you afflict the oppressed, anytime you rob the poor, God makes it his business to make you his target for his vengeance, because it tells us the Lord will plead their cause and he will spoil the soul of those that spoiled them. He's not just going to touch their physical. He's not just going to touch their physical. What's the word that I want to use? He's not going to just touch the things that they have in this physical realm, their cars, their houses, their money, their bank accounts. But he's also going to spoil their soul. So after all of that has been wiped out, he's going to bring them into derision. He's going to spoil their soul. And so that gives us an image of God breaking an individual down and breaking their will down to where they feel lower than the dust, where they can go nowhere but up. And they are in a place where they're depressed and they're saying, well, how did I get to this point? How did this happen? Where did this come from? God will be the one who will spoil the souls of them that spoil the oppressed that rob the poor and that afflict the oppressed. God makes it his point to make you the object of his vengeance and the object of his wrath. And we see that happening today. The poor are being afflicted. They're being robbed through taxes. Poor being robbed, the rich are getting richer, and not just through taxes, but through other methods. And then we see those that are afflicted are continually being oppressed. where the rights are being taken away, and some of the stuff is through omission. What people do not know comes back to bite them. So we do need to make an effort to get that information, and we need to make a concerted effort, especially with the laws of whatever country you live in, whatever land you live in. You need to make a concerted effort to be able to understand the laws of that country and know the laws of that land, so you can be able to live a free or a liberal life, a life of freedom, a life of liberality, where you have the control over your life and come in combination with the Holy Spirit, where he can guide you and lead you, and you begin to build some stuff up, because you need to get educated. You have to be educated. A lot of people don't like education. You need to go get educated. Go get an accredited degree. Education opens doors, and education gives you credentials. Education will give you position, and position will give you influence. And when you have influence, it will open doors for you to give you access to resources. Education gives you position, and position gives you influence, and influence gives you access to resources. Notice I did not say money. Notice I didn't say give you access to cars, wealth, this, that, and the third. Access to resources. So for those that are really, they really know what's going on, they will understand that their anointing, what God has called them to do, their credentials, whatever it is that they do, God uses that to open up doors and get them in a position where they are surrounded by people who have all the resources that they need to do what they do. It's not always about money. Verse 24 says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways. And see, there are some people with their deep selves as Christians, we always want to hang around everybody all the time. There are certain people, you're not just going to change their ways, no matter how sanctified you think that you are coming down over the mountain and glowing with the glory of God. The scripture says, make no friendships with an angry man. Don't even be around him. Don't be around him, because they'll start to rub off on you. Because anybody that's a friend to you, any negligent ways or attitudes that they have, habits, disciplines, will begin to rub off on you. And not just rub off on you, you will feel as though it's okay, because you will start to say that's just how they are. And that's been one of the biggest tricks of the enemy, because a lot of demonic spirits are infested and lodged into people this day, because they hide in people's personalities. And we say that's just the way they are. That's not the way they are. That is a demon, and you need to call it out, and it needs to come out. And when you hit it on its head, usually you stop it from being able to act openly around you and to work against you. Verse 26 says, and be not, now the rest of that scripture says, now let's go back to verse 25, verse 24, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. So this is why with certain individuals, just like it talks about the harlot, the adulterous woman, it talks about an angry person. Somebody, they're angry all the time. They get furious, and in their anger, they don't make good decisions. You're going to end up having that same discipline, that same spirit rub off on you, or thinking it's okay to do this or condoning their actions. But hanging around them, the scripture lets us know that it can be a snare to your soul. So there are things that are warnings that you might be super spiritual and think you can do anyway, but these things are snares to your soul, and they will pull you slowly down into the pit if you don't get control over them. And no matter how spiritual you are, there are certain things you just need to do, because it's in the word, and it's just the wisdom of God. Now, the world uses the wisdom. They don't call it the wisdom of God, but they use it and they implement it. And it's time for you to do the same thing. Verse 26 says, be not thou one of them that strike hands, or them that are sureties for debts. Now, this is, this is another time for this same scripture. Especially as Christians, we need to get you need to get your credit score right. You have all these bills. Everybody's trying to look fly. You got your nails on. You got your weave done. Brothers got their suits. Now the suits are so cheap. You got 20 suits, but you don't even have a car. You got all these suits, and you don't even own a house. You're still in an apartment. You got all these suits and all these shoes and all these socks and ties, and you don't even have an education yet. So where are the priorities? So as a Christian, it is crucial that your priorities in your life are lined up to reflect the mind of God. I don't care what other people are doing, but as a Christian, your whole life reflects the mindset of God in each and everything that you do. Verse 27 says, now, if thou hast nothing to pay, why should he take away thy bed from under thee? Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Seest thou a man diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings, he shall not stand before mean men. Now, verse 29 closes out chapter 22 as we close this Bible study, but verse 29 of chapter 22, it closes it out, and it says, seest a man diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings, he shall not stand before mean men. And that sums up the whole purpose of this Bible study. Look, you need to be diligent in what you're doing. If God told you to start a business, you need to be diligent about getting a business plan. You need to be diligent about finding your business licenses, finding out everything you need to do, opening up a bank account. You need to be diligent about doing all of those things. We call you to do ministry. It's the same thing. There are so many people in ministry that are so... they lack integrity. They're in ministry, but you need to do the right things. You know, there's no problem with starting out in ministry and going for a while. You don't get incorporated. But when you make up your mind that I'm going to do this and do this right, you need to go forth, get incorporated. You need to file paperwork. You need to, you will take the time to research and find out everything that you do need to make it happen in the natural. And true faith is doing everything you can do in the natural and watching God superimpose his power and his ability on your natural, and then watching the supernatural happen. We think the supernatural is just miracles, signs, and wonders. There's more to the supernatural than just that. If we would do that, and it lets us know that if you're diligent about your business, if you're doing what God wants you to do, if you lay the plan out, if you're meticulous about the plan, if you itemize what God has told you to do, and you make sure you get up in the morning, you know, you're praying, you're decreeing and declaring your morning, you're commanding your morning, you're making sure you're doing everything that you need to do, and though you're not perfect, you're going to have some flaws, but if you consciously can bring those flaws and those areas of your life that are sinful before the Lord in repentance and bring those before him daily, bring them before him and ask him to help you with that while you still move forward at 100% maximum. I mean, 110%. I mean, just move forward. You will see that it will bring you before kings. You will see that you will be blessed. You will see that you will be walking in your mission and your purpose in life. Because ultimately, in Proverbs, and as we've outlined here tonight in chapter 22, which does outline some moral, ethical, and spiritual precepts, in chapter 22, verses 1 through 29, we can see weaved into here, there are some precepts that are basic to businessmen, precepts that are basic to Christian character that will maintain and keep you blessed and bring favor for you and bring you before great men. And this is a chapter, and it's just a little snippet in comparison or in combination with the other chapters, but it has in it some principles that will just help you be a better Christian, a better businessman, and hopefully help you to change your mindset about your Christianity, that it's not just decreeing and declaring and flop, and I go to Sunday service and I go to Bible study, but you're not creating anything. There's no fruit. What businesses are you creating? Is your household even saved? I mean, are you going to school? What are you doing? Are you setting yourself up to even be used at God at that capacity? We say, God, make me great. God, give me a business. God, make me a millionaire. But you don't even have an associate's degree. You don't even have a certification. You don't even have a bachelor's degree. Or, you know, what are you doing? And then all your money are being routed to other directions. So I want you to think about that. Go back to Proverbs chapter 22. Read over this. And when you listen to this, you'll read over this. Not only will you get the revelation that you just heard, but God is going to speak to your heart and give you revelation concerning your own personal situations with each and every scripture that you read. With the book of Proverbs, when you read Proverbs, just like Psalms, when you read the book of Proverbs, one of the things to remember to do when you read the book of Proverbs, and this will bless you, when you read the book of Proverbs, go through each verse and pick a chapter, decree and declare that whole chapter into the atmosphere. You need to vocalize that book into the atmosphere, and vocalize that book into the atmosphere. And after you've read the whole chapter aloud into the atmosphere, then go back and read each one silently to yourself, and then allow the Lord to speak to your heart concerning each scripture. And he will speak to your heart concerning those scriptures and how you can apply that revelation and the meat, the milk meat, or the milk bread or meat of that revelation to your own life. And it will bless you, and it will help you to live a better life, and it will just help you to go forward and jump over some things and go a little bit faster. So remember that going into 2012. And I also want to encourage you, going into 2012, come December the 1st, don't wait till the end of the year to make your New Year's resolution. Try something different this year. Make your New Year's resolution come December the 1st and have it done by the end of the year. Have it done by the 1st of 2012. So make your resolution on December the 1st and have it done by 2012. So try to do it a little differently this time, and let's see how that measures up. You are listening, if you are tuned in You are listening to the strategically, not the strategically prophetic radio broadcast, but just listening to the Word of Life Bible study. We've been talking about the book of Proverbs, getting into some nuggets on how you can improve your life and just trying to change the mindset of Christians in this day and time. It will bless you. If we are about to leave you, but we're going to play a quick song. I want to thank you for listening and thank you for tuning in. You can tune in to us here every Tuesday at 7 o'clock. Sit back, listen to this track, and we'll be right back. Again, this is the Word of Life Bible study, and I want to thank you for tuning in on tonight. We're going to go off on a good note. This is Lucinda Moore. This song is entitled Praise Him. I want to thank you for tuning in. I want you to be blessed. I want you to remember that the Lord does have a blessing for you. If we would stay steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the Word of the Lord. God is faithful to do His Word. He's faithful to bring it to pass. All you have to do is stay focused. And make sure you're doing everything that you can do, lining up with the Word of God, and as well as lining up your actions with your mouth and with your thoughts and your heart, so you can see the Word of God manifested in your life. Until next time, Word of Life, Church Kentucky Bible Study. Be blessed.